This is the fourth session of Things the Lord Hates, fourth and last session. We've looked into haughty eyes, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that run rapidly to evil. These things harm others, hurt others, and they do evil for their own benefit, even by harming other people. But you can find these examples in our daily lives, not just in the Bible. But the reason why God is saying this is not to point out somebody else's evil, but to realize the evil in our own hearts and cast it away. You know, if you look into the past, look back in the past, right at that moment, you probably couldn't have felt that you are evil. But later, if you think about it, you can understand that you did evil. But if you look back, but with a self-justifying view, then you wouldn't be able to realize yourself. But if you look at what happened, look back at what happened in the past in the light of the Word of God and the truth, then you'd be able to understand and see and realize your evil. Maybe you could have given a hard time to other people with your authority. Maybe you could have lied for your benefit. Maybe you slandered somebody, gossiped about somebody. And gossip and slander, this is to cause so much pain for others. And so this is same as hands that shed innocent blood. And also, when you decide or discern between some things, do you have the standard of the truth or do you make decisions out of impulse? So if you do that, if you make decisions based on your impulse, then it could easily lead to evil decisions. And even though you're choosing evil easily, maybe you don't feel any pangs of conscience. That is the feet that run rapidly to evil. So I hope you will look into yourself against the Word of God, reflect yourself against the Word of God. So when you do that, God will give you the grace through the Holy Spirit so that you can realize that you did evil. Those who are evil, even if they do evil, they don't realize that it's evil. To those who are getting angry, throwing temper tantrum, if you say to them with a calm voice, why do you get angry? Then they wouldn't, maybe they wouldn't get any pangs of conscience. They wouldn't think that others might feel uncomfortable because they are throwing a temper tantrum. They just say, I have a good reason to be angry. And they don't think about how hard how uncomfortable the others would feel because of their temper. And if you feel that, if you have some pangs of conscience, then it means you have learned the Word of God and you've cultivated truth in you to that extent. So if you can see yourself when you are getting angry, you know, like as if you are looking into the mirror, then it means if you try just a little bit, you can throw away the anger and temper. But those who are evil, they don't even realize that they are throwing a temper tantrum, even though they are. But through powerful prayers, fervent prayers, you can receive all the answers and throw away evil from your heart. The sixth thing that God hates is a false witness who utters lies. One of the examples is the false witnesses, worthless fellows that were bought by Jezebel. There were two people. And their act was so evil that it can't really be understood. Because of their false witness, an innocent man was wrongfully accused and he was put to death. And about this result, not just the one who initiated it was evil, but also those who were coerced or instigated to do it were evil as well. It is the same as selling your soul. Usually you say, you know, sometimes people, they sell their soul to demons or evil spirits, to the devil. It's because of money or because of power, because you are oppressed by, intimidated by somebody else's power, and even if you give a false witness because of those things, it means you are still responsible. It doesn't mean you're not responsible. So about this, Proverbs 19:5 says, a false witness will not go unpunished, and he who tells lies will not escape. Exodus 23:1 says, you shall not bear a false report. Do not join your hand with a wicked man to be a malicious witness. You know, malicious witness is the false witness. So this is such great evil. So the Bible continuously says that lying and false witness is evil. So it'll harm somebody else. And if you drive somebody to death with your false witness, it's such a great sin. And it will not go unpunished. So, even for no matter what kind of benefit we can get through false witness, or conversely, even if we have to suffer such a great loss, we must never become a false witness. But the word God says a false witness who utters lies, malicious witness, God says, this is a false witness. But this false witness is not only about causing harm to other people. In the world, they say a lie is to say something that is not a fact. But in God's view, a lie is everything that is against the Word of God. So if you cause harm to somebody with your words, even though they are true, or if you say something that is not virtuous, and when you must not say, if you say something, it'll cause difficulty or hardship for others, and if you still say it, it is also a kind of lie in a broader view. So first I talked about the two witnesses bought by Jezebel. And through the episode of David in the city of Nob, I will try to explain about the righteous witness and false witness, evil witness. Evil witness is not just a false witness who tells a lie to blame somebody else, blame somebody innocent. But if you say something that you mustn't say, even if it's true, and thereby causing harm to others, it is also a kind of a false witness and evil witness. It's a malicious witness. 1 Samuel chapter 22 depicts a scene of David running away and going to the city of Nob. And that was what happened before chapter 22. So when David went to the city of Nob, which was the city of priests, he went to Ahimelech. the priest. And he asked for help. And Ahimelech helped David because David was such a famous man. He killed Goliath. He helped the king. He won every battle. So he was praised by the people. He was a faithful, good servant of the king. Everybody knew it. So Ahimelech, he also thought David was a faithful servant of king, so he helped him. And also in the city of Nob, there was this sword that killed Goliath. At first, David used a slingshot to kill Goliath, and he took out the sword of Goliath, and he beheaded Goliath with Goliath's sword. And that sword was in that city. It was spoils of war. So it could have been kept by the government. But also it could have been given to David as a gift because David was the one who killed Goliath. But King Saul didn't give it to David. He kept it in that city. So David asked for some kind of a weapon, and the priest, for the priest, it wasn't a problem. So David was asking for it. He was such a honored man in the country. So Ahimelech gave it to David. But after that, King Saul came to know about this incident. David, on the run, he visited city of Nob, and Ahimelech helped him, and Saul found it out, and he was angry. Why wouldn't anybody report it to me? Saul was rebuking everybody, but nobody reported it to him for a reason, because they knew what kind of good character David was. He helped the king so much. He didn't do anything evil. So because they knew it, they didn't report the fact that David visited Nob and he received help. So people didn't report that fact to Saul. Especially because they knew, they thought, Saul could cause a lot of harm on the city of Nob. So those who are good-hearted, they didn't tell about it. But there is an evil person. So when David received the help from Ahimelech, there was an Edomite called Doeg, and he reported to Saul. So this Doeg made a report of what really happened. And why would they say, even though he just stated the facts, why do we say he is evil? Because his intention was evil. He wanted to destroy the priest and David, who did only good things. So, telling on somebody is, even if it is true, you have an evil intention. Suppose you have a fight, or you don't like your brothers among the siblings, and this brother did something wrong, and you tell on him, tell your parents on him. It's an evil thing. Even if it is true, it is telling on somebody. You say it. So even if it is true what really happened, if you have evil intention to cause harm to others, you know that the parents will scold him or, you know, ground him or something. Definitely he'll be punished by the parents. But if you still tell on him, then it's an evil thing to do. Especially in case of Doeg. He probably knew what Saul would do. Saul would probably kill everybody. He knew it. And yet, he still made this report. So this the Saul summoned everybody who was at the city of Nob. But this priest Ahimelech, he knew Saul. When David asked for help, Ahimelech didn't know David was on the run. But because Saul now summoned everybody, he was questioning everybody. So Ahimelech, he came to find out that Saul was hated David. Saul was trying to kill David, and his actions were revealed, and he was being questioned for his actions. So now he came to know what was going on. And yet, even after he came to know what was going on, he talked about the good things of David. When Saul was questioning him, "Why did you help David?" he realized that his actions caused Saul to hate him. And if he told the truth, Saul would probably kill him. So he was afraid. And yet, he talked well of David. 1 Samuel chapter 22 verse 14 says, "Then Ahimelech answered the king and said, 'And who among all your servants is as faithful as David, even the king's son-in-law, who is captain over your guard and is honored in your house?'" Saul was reprimanding and throwing his temper tantrum at the people because the people helped David. And yet he was still speaking well of David. And then he defended himself as well. "I didn't know what was going on. Please do not hold me or my family accountable." So it means it was really threatening. And Ahimelech knew it. The priest knew what was going on. And yet he was still boldly speaking of the goodness and faithfulness of David. So we can see this kind of scene in the history too. Before authoritative kings, you know, they had all the power. The kings had all the power. And when somebody was wrongfully accused, like this priest who was afraid. He was afraid, but he was still telling the truth about this person, David. Then he helped David because he didn't know that Saul hated David. But now he knows that Saul hated David. So if you are really a coward, then you change your words. "I didn't know David was such a unfaithful and rebellious person. Now that I see, he is really rebellious and he's evil servant for you, king." But then the priest wouldn't change his words. You see, sometimes your superior is doing something wrong in the sight of God, but what do you have to do? You have to talk to that person in person, face to face. "I think this is against the word of God." But then still your superior says, "Oh, it's not wrong, but I'm just bending the row a little bit. I'm just going around the corner." Then you'd have to pray with all your heart and even fast for that person. But if that person keeps on doing what is wrong, then you can let the church know about it so that his actions can be corrected. But you don't say it. Because if you say it, you'll be hated by your superior. Maybe he will cause some harm or loss for you, to you. So this is also same as malicious witness. Sometimes, with goodness and truthful words, you can make misunderstandings go away. But if you stay silent, then it can, you can also, you're also a malicious witness. You know, you feel like, oh, I don't want to really speak up. Even though there is misunderstanding between some people, you know, somebody's, some superior, they are throwing a tantrum, you know, speaking loudly, shouting at somebody. And you know what, that he is having a misunderstanding. But you don't try to correct him. You just stay silent because you are afraid of, maybe you might also be reprimanded because of his anger. So when there is a misunderstanding, you have to, and if you know the truth, if you know the fact, then you have to speak up and let the misunderstanding go away, the false accusation go away. You must stay silent in these situations. So the priest in Nob, Ahimelech, he did still speak up. He still spoke up and talked about the innocence of David. But for Saul, he didn't want to accept any of those words. He couldn't control his anger. So even though the priest said something right, Saul just judged that the priest and David, they came hand in hand together, and he killed everybody in the city of Nob. So what would the Doeg have to do in this situation? It looked like he reported the truth. So why do we say he is evil? Then maybe even at this moment, maybe he could have made the situation a little better. Because Doeg knew that the priest didn't help David with an evil intention, but he didn't even know that David was on the run. So he just helped him. David also lied about that he was on the run. So Doeg knew all the situations, what really happened. So he could have explained, because of his words, everybody in the city of Nob was going to be put to death. So Doeg, he could have stood up and spoken up. Oh, king, when the priest helped David, he didn't know David was on the run. And David, he just asked for help, and he didn't say he was on the run. So the priest, he really didn't know anything. He didn't have any intention to go against you, king. But Doeg had the chance to speak up, but he just stayed silent. If he told the truth, the priest could have avoided being killed. And for that reason, he stayed silent. He wanted them to be killed. If he just explained a little bit, because the priest explained this situation, Doeg could have agreed and confirmed his defense. So he could have avoided death. But this evil Doeg, he just stayed silent. So the wrath of Saul came upon everybody on the city of Nob. But the people, they were afraid. They didn't like killing priests. And this Doeg, he killed all the priests and everybody and all the animals in the city of Nob. And he did this evil upon evil. So this is the feed that run rapidly to evil. And also, this evil intention
didn't stop there. He piled evil upon evil. We shouldn't just think, oh, Doeg was so evil, but we have to look back on ourselves. If, you know the truth, but somebody else is suffering because you are not telling the truth, then this is also to be malicious witness. And sometimes somebody is superior, is giving, harassing or giving a hard time to his junior. And if you falsely, and if you stand by that superior, then it is also to become a malicious witness. Psalm 52, verses 2 to 3 says, David talks about Doeg. Your tongue devises destruction like a sharp razor, O worker of deceit. You love evil more than good, falsehood more than speaking what is right. So through this incident, we can compare Ahimelech and Doeg and understand about righteous witness and false witness or malicious witness. And let us also think about ourselves, if we have that kind of attitude to keep our benefit, if we stayed silent when we had to speak up. Also, we can see this in the event of Stephen. He was full of God's power and grace, and manifested the power of God. One time he had a debate with the Pharisees. And Acts 6:10 says, but they were unable to cope with the wisdom and the spirit with which he was speaking. Stephen didn't have any evil intention or anger to talk about the Lord. He was speaking out of the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. So many people, so many Jews, they couldn't cope with the wisdom of Stephen, because it was a wisdom of goodness. So those, in this moment, those who are evil, the Jews, they thought they were not winning the argument. So they put some false witnesses to capture Stephen. Nevertheless, Stephen was still at peace. Acts 6:15 says, and fixing their gaze on him, all who were sitting in the council saw his face like the face of an angel. It's like he was taken to a police station, maybe to a court. He was being questioned, and he was one against everybody else. And they were all trying to accuse him and make him a sinner. And his face, he was only following the truth, so he was at peace. So his face was like the face of an angel. And the high priest, about these accusations on Stephen, the high priest asked Stephen to speak. He gave him a chance to defend himself. And he said, he began with all the history of Israel and said that Jesus Christ is true Savior and the Messiah. And he rebuked the sin of the Jews who killed innocent Jesus. So he became a true witness of the Lord. In fact, this situation was that there were so many Jews who never liked Jesus, talking about Jesus, and they were trying to find the ground to accuse Stephen. If you speak one wrong word, you could have been put to death. And in this situation, Stephen became a true witness of the Lord Jesus. And when senior pastor was talking about this, he said, as a witness of Jesus Christ, even if I'm going to be beheaded on this pulpit, I will still be a witness of the Lord. And his words
are true. He showed it with his action. When we had overseas crusades, just in case of Pakistan, there was this threat of terrorism. If you do this crusade, you know, there were many threats of bombing and terrorist attacks. And in Pakistan, actually, a lot of bombings take place. So when he heard that, did he get afraid? Oh, maybe I should not talk about Jesus Christ, or maybe I should not go. Did he say such things? No. No matter what the threat was, he had the faith that God would protect him and that he didn't care about these things to testify about the Lord. So he boldly talked about Jesus. There was also the work of Satan that tried to stop this crusade. But through that work of Satan, God was glorified even more greatly. And God was glorified. In fact, actually. So this is to be a true witness. And God protects these true witnesses and also guarantee the words of these witnesses with the power of God. And also what happened in India. The devil was afraid that the Sinipath was coming to India. So they instigated the governor to make a law against conversions. So the pastors, local pastors, they explained about this. So did the senior pastor say, oh, maybe I should not really talk about Jesus Christ? Maybe I should say just heaven is good? No. He never thought about such a thing. He just talked about God the Creator, the Lord Jesus Christ. And God protected him. God guaranteed his words were true with the power of God. So as the evidence was shown with the word of God, nobody could do anything about it. Nobody could arrest him or anything. But rather, he was loved and honored and respected by the people. He gave glory to God greatly. So he was a true and good witness of the Lord and the Father God. And he is. And he tells us we should also be able to give our lives to become the witness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Of course, for the glory of God and the Lord Jesus, we are not afraid of death. We are not afraid of anything. Also, we try to keep the church and the shepherd, and we try to keep righteousness. Maybe there is momentary sorrow and hardship, but God will pay us back with rewards and glory later. So with this faith and hope, let us act in thanksgiving and goodness. Those who were listening to Stephen, what happened to them? You know, their hearts, they had the pangs of conscience. So they should have repented. But the evil ones, when they have pangs of conscience, they don't repent, but they rather give out evil. So they were gnashing their teeth against Stephen. And Stephen, looking at them, he wasn't afraid and he didn't stop spreading the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That doesn't mean he was angry and why wouldn't you accept this Jesus Christ? He wasn't speaking out of his self-righteousness. No. When the Jews looked at him, his face was like the face of an angel. When you do something good, when you speak of righteousness, you have to do it in the good way. You have to do it in goodness. When you say it, if the others, they don't accept it, and if you get angry, it means you are not mature enough, and the Holy Spirit cannot work in that situation. And just because they don't listen to you, you just get angry. Then it means you should just stay silent. Then what do you have to do? Maybe you can pray, Father God, I am talking I am speaking the truth. But this is my righteousness. This is my self-righteousness. So this anger, temper, Father, let me cast them away. And even if I speak the truth and the others don't listen, you have to back off. After the martyrdom of Stephen, the gospel was spread because the believers were spread everywhere. So it was allowed by God for the purpose of spreading the gospel. But sometimes, we sometimes make a strong opinion. We take a firm stand, and sometimes it causes arguments. And then it's sometimes you have to keep quiet so that it will not develop into an argument. But in case of Stephen, you can see that he spoke only in goodness, not with anger or temper. So the Lord was pleased with this Stephen, and God opened his spiritual eyes. So Acts 7:56 said, and he said, "Behold, I see the heavens opened up and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." So his spiritual eyes were opened and he was seeing Jesus right at the right hand of God. And he wanted to share it with the people. And the people said, then falling on, they put him outside the city and stoned him to death. And the false witnesses who were accusing Stephen, they were the leading position. And their evil feelings burst. And they couldn't just do it quietly. So they took their shirts, garments off, and they charged him, and they threw stones at him to kill him. We can see the contrast between Stephen and the evil ones. Those who are evil, they become violent, and they have a lot of anger. They raise their voices to demand or to get what they want. If others don't listen to them. But in case of a good people, Stephen didn't do that. So we sometimes have to back off wisely. But when we have to speak up, we have to speak up. So we have to receive the wisdom from above. And we should learn from this contrast between Stephen and the evil people, evil Jews. So evil people, they make false witnesses to put the blame on somebody else, wrongfully accuse others. But in case of Stephen, he just spoke only truth. Even when he was being martyred, and he wasn't cursing those who were killing him either. Acts 7:60 says, then falling on his knees, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." Having said this, he fell asleep. When he had to speak up, he spoke up. But he didn't act with evil against evil people. He didn't shout at them, or he didn't point fingers at them, or anything like that. So you can compare this with those evil people who threw their garments before they threw stones at him. So we can see this difference of good and evil in trying to realize ourselves. It looked like Stephen was put to death for no reason, but it was paid back with such great glory. So with your momentary hard feelings or temper, you should never become a false witness. Proverbs 21:28 says, a false witness will perish. So eventually, a false witness will fail, and only God's punishment awaits them. And also, Judas Iscariot is one of the malicious witnesses.
Judas Iscariot guided the soldiers to where Jesus was praying, and he kissed him. And kissing is the way of greeting. And he was greeting, and he kissed Jesus. And how cunning and crafty and evil kiss was this? They already made a sign. The one I kiss is Jesus that you want to arrest. So when I kiss him, you can arrest him quickly. And he was a disciple, and he had the Last Supper just a couple of hours ago. And he was standing in the front. Maybe he should have hidden himself. And the one in that garment, he is Jesus. But he was so bold when he was doing evil that he stood right in front of Jesus and kissed him as a sign. And yet, Jesus, knowing all his Judas's heart, Jesus didn't get angry or anything, but he quietly said, "Judas, do you sell the Son of Man, sell out the Son of Man with your kiss?" So that Judas could realize it. He didn't push Judas away or anything like that. He treated Judas only with goodness until the end, trying to let him realize and let him repent. But Judas was a malicious witness, and his end was so meaningless. And false witnesses doesn't only mean you are falsely accusing somebody, but also, just like in the case of Judas Iscariot, if you go along in the false act, then it means you are, in a broader sense, you are also a false witness. Suppose some people, they are planning something very evil. And just because it might cause harm to you if you don't hang out with them, so you just hang out with them and you stay together. You're on their side. But God says it's not right. If you are on their side, it is also evil. Some students, when teenagers in their schools, you know, there are some bullies, and they take money from the weak students, or maybe some you have a little bit of a good heart and you don't want to do it, then you can just get out of there. But you don't get out of that group. You don't even talk them out of it. You don't even try to talk them out of such evil acts. They say, "Oh, we'll do this evening," and you're still there in the evening. And it means you're agreeing. You're acting together with them. So God will not say you're not evil. So in any situation, you must never go along in evil acts. So even in this situation, since the opening, there have been many false witnesses. And he preached this message in 1994. And there were false witnesses. We had 98 and 99 incidents, and now we see what is happening today. So senior pastor said, even among those who received God's grace, or even among the pastors in this church, they falsely accused the senior pastor with evil schemes, and there were those who allied with these people, and sent false letters to the press and the government. But among those people, you know, there were also people who stayed in the church and pretended that they didn't unite with them. In many cases, senior pastors still knew about them. And yet, senior pastor never revealed these people to the church members. He still
wanted even these evil people to repent and come back. And if they remained in the church, he wanted them to repent and be changed. So let us engrave this goodness of the shepherd deep in our heart. But many people, you say, I'm not like the shepherd, so I'm so angry at them. And sometimes I have this evil thoughts against them. But I know God is not pleased with this kind of evil thoughts, so I repent. So I recognize that you're very good-hearted. You don't think that it is you deserve to be angry at them, but you know that it is still evil, so you are still trying to get rid of the kind of evil with the tearful prayers. So you humbly say all these things. So we can become, we can cultivate more goodness in this kind of situation. So it is a spur for us to go faster to New Jerusalem. So we shouldn't say this or that, but we can just realize our evil. Do we have anger or do we have self-righteousness? Or do we consider everything in goodness just like the... But we don't have the right to forgive those who wrongfully accused the shepherd. Of course, it is clearly it is evil. It is right to discern what is good and evil. Of course, you have to have the discernment. But that is their evil. What kind of heart do we have? Do we have anger or frustration, or you want to, you know, pay it back, or you want to curse them? Or do you want them to repent and turn away? So because that's what the shepherd wants, we can take after that goodness. And also what we have to do is realize our evil, self-righteousness, anger, frustration, speaking evil things. So this is what God is requiring of us at this moment. So when there is this kind of incident going on, there are many malicious witnesses. But senior pastor forgave them. But even though senior pastor forgave them, unless they repent thoroughly and ask for complete forgiveness, it is a sin leading to death, unforgivable sins. So they really will have to repent. And for us, we have to check ourselves. You know, betraying and lying for your benefit. This is malicious witness, and we can never become malicious witnesses. They used to give thanks with tears for the grace they received. And if you act in evil, what will God say about it? So, in sum, you're not a false witness just because you are falsely accusing somebody. But if you go along with evil people, staying silent about it, then it also means you're being a false witness and malicious witness. So the seventh thing that God hates is the one who spreads strife among brothers. You alienate people from each other. Sometimes you cause dissension among people with jealousy. Among the 12 sons of Jacob, we can see this. The brothers, the 10 brothers, they were jealous of Joseph because Joseph was loved by Jacob so much. At first, they talked about killing Joseph, but Reuben intervened and said, we must never kill our own brother. And this kind of evil among the brothers happens quite often. Even though they are siblings, because of money, because of inheritance money, they become enemies with each other. And in case of Joseph, they all had different mothers, so they were only half brothers. So they hated him even more. So Joseph was sold
into Egypt as a slave by the hands of his own brothers. And these brothers, they put some goat's blood on Joseph's clothes and said to their father that probably some animal, ferocious animal, ate Joseph. So Jacob thought Joseph was dead, and Jacob mourned so much. So it would even harm the health. So because of this jealousy, there is a spreading of strife among brothers. And it causes a lot of pain. So we have to realize how evil this is. Why do we try to why do we try to cause this kind of falling out of the relationships? Because of jealousy. So you, out of jealousy, you create some rumors, false rumors, so that these people will be misunderstood by others, so that they will be on bad terms with each other. There were many ministers who try to take apart kings from good ministers. Because they are jealous that these ministers are loved by the king. So they say this, make these false accusations. You know, they are planning a rebel, a coup. So these good ministers might be punished. And these kings, they listen to them. So you have to be careful about what you hear. So in the history, also the women, the king's women among the king's women, they are jealous of each other, you know, among the concubines and the queens. Also, there are many alienating friends or superiors and juniors, seniors and juniors in the companies. And you create false rumors so that only you will be loved by your superior. And also because of these words, alienating words, there is a strife. So that is why God prohibits this strictly. And this comes from, most alienating comes from slandering and gossip. That is why gossip is strictly prohibited by God. Matthew chapter 7 verses 1 and 2 says, "Do not judge so that you will not be judged. For in the way you judge, you will be judged, and by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you." Suppose somebody is making false accusations against you. They are judging you. They are making you an evil person. So you'd be happy, right? You'd be at peace, right? No, of course not. If you find out somebody is slandering you, you'll suffer in heart. You don't want to face such a situation. And why do you do this to somebody else? If you don't want to suffer like that, don't do it. Don't slander others. Don't gossip. Don't judge others. Judging, you don't really know what their intentions are. And how can you judge them and talk badly about them? And suppose you are being judged, how painful would it be? Proverbs 17:9 says, "He who conceals a transgression seeks love, but he who repeats a matter separates intimate friends." You have a very good friend, and he knows your fault, your past wrongdoing. And he keeps on talking about it. "Oh, you did this. You did this." And he keeps on saying it. Then you don't want to be a friend with him anymore. Any longer. But if you keeps on, so even among very good friends, you don't want to be his friend any longer. But if somebody else, a third party, reveals your fault in the past, What did it happen? Also, you say, oh, I know this, and this is a secret, and this is between you and me. You're not to talk about this with anybody else. And they say, okay. Then they talk about this with others. And when this person who said it hears it from somebody else, they fight. Why would you say it to others? I said, this is between you and me. So those who say it, those who spread it, they are all evil anyway. So why do you talk about the fault of others? Proverbs 20:19 says, he who goes about as a slanderer reveals secrets. You know, they go about here and there, so many places, and slander others. They don't talk about the truth, God's words or testimonies, but they just hear it from somewhere. They don't even know where they heard it from. And they just he who goes about as a slanderer reveals secrets. Therefore, do not associate with a gossip. So you shouldn't associate with a gossiper, because they will talk about you too. Definitely. You think you are close to him? Close to her? And they will not talk about you? Definitely they will talk about you too. So it is best not to associate with them at all. So does that mean you have to, if one of your friends is slandering somebody or gossiping, then does that mean you have to openly accuse them? No. You can just let them understand. Let us not talk about this. Let us only talk about good things. And if you talk about such things to me, then I will remember other people's faults. So it's not good. And I don't feel good about it. So let us only just talk about good things. So you can make a point. And you can just let them change. And you shouldn't just openly say, oh, I'm not going to talk to you anymore. I'm not going to associate with you any longer. But you can just talk to them out of it. But they don't change. They just want to keep on gossiping. Then naturally, you'll be distanced from those people. You don't want to hear. You don't want to hear what they are saying. And you always change the subject. And they will feel it's not fun to talk to you any longer. So they will hang out with other people. So if you are surrounded by people who gossip and slander, it means you are a gossiper too. So we should only say good things, and what is not good, we should never spread or hear or speak whatever is not good. And the words, these words are not only about talking. You know, you talk on the messages, messengers, or Facebook, or Instagram. You mustn't spread these evil things or the words on these things. So you shouldn't be the ones who spread these slanders or gossip. It is evil to reveal other people's faults. Or they might create something completely out of thin air and spread it. And they hear something and they add something and spread it to others. All these things are so evil, and this is to alienate between people and spread strife among brothers. Somebody texted you something and you don't even know that it is true or not. You spread it. There were some unfavorable text messages. And I asked the one who received it, where did you receive it from? So he said, somebody. So you can, because I can't talk to that person directly, I told this person to tell her that I said, why do you spread this? Because, so I explained it in detail and
and how evil that content of the text message is. So at the end of it, I asked her, after receiving it, haven't you spread it to anybody else? She didn't say anything while she was listening to me. She didn't say she's delivered it to anybody else. So I asked, by any chance, did you deliver it to anybody? And she said, I delivered it to 4 people. She received it from 1 person, and she spread it to 4 people. And the one who started it, oh, I didn't mean it. I spread it to 1 person, this 1 person to 4 people, 4 people to 8 more people. This is how exponentially, this is how it spreads. And you started it. And what will God say about it? You spread these evil words. You are spreading strife among brothers. You falsely accused this person. And that's what God will say. This is so ridiculous. You're laughing at it. But this is actually happening among us. So suppose you are the object of this rumor. Oh, you said Pastor Suji Lee said this and that, and this rumor is spreading. And what will I do about it? Can I defend myself with everybody who received the text message? And how much will I suffer? So why do you have to be the one who started it, who starts it? God knows everything. Who created this rumor? And we cannot trace back everything. And in the church, we are not going to trace back everything in the church. But God knows everything. Who started it? Who, why they said it? Why they created it? God knows even the intentions. And you might be the one who is hated by God. So with the words that you spread, if others suffer pain, if they stumble, and in serious case, they might even leave the church. For example, suppose some close friends, they talk with each other, and they talk about Deacon Kim, who is not there. So Deacon Kim doesn't know that they are talking about it. But there is a person always who talks about what they talked about with Deacon Kim. And if they didn't like it, they should have spoken up right at the moment. But this person goes to Deacon Kim and talks about what they talked about. He lets him know what they talked about. You think this is righteousness? No, this is the one who spreads strife. What kind of feelings will Deacon Kim have? So he will dislike or even hate the ones who were in that group. And also, there might be different opinions among the leaders or the workers in the church. And if you accuse them that they are wrong, and this is also to spread strife among brothers. There might be different opinions. Just because they have different opinion, does that mean they are evil? No. They say, oh, I don't have evil intention, but I'm saying this, and they have a different opinion. So to discern between good and evil, what is right or wrong, I talked about it with somebody else. And if you talk about it with somebody else, saying that that person is not right and not good, then it's also evil. So we shouldn't try to discern between right and wrong about what others think or what others do, because we don't know their heart completely. So what we can never say somebody did right or wrong. So we should never judge. Also, some people, they don't try to intentionally spread strife, but they deliver something wrong, unintentionally, by a mistake. So eventually they spread strife among brothers. Suppose a leader explains about this particular person. Let's say Tom. And as an example, so that everybody in the group can understand, it's not to accuse Tom, but among the attendants, there is somebody who talks about this leader, what the leader talked about to Tom, and also to other people. And when these words are spread, they, you know, it's like a snowball. And there are so many things that are added and things like that. So eventually Tom misunderstands this leader. And there is a strife. So eventually the relationship collapses between the leader and Tom. So there are things that you can spread and you must not spread. If what you spread can hurt the feelings of others, you shouldn't deliver it. Sometimes, even if you don't have any evil intention, they are not capable of accepting that word. So they have, their feelings are hurt. So you have to think about all these situations. So that is why James chapter 3, verses 6 to 10, explain about the importance of tongue. It is a fire. It is the very world of iniquity. The tongue is set among our members as that which defiles the entire body. So with tongues, you might even kill somebody. You know, like not actually physically kill somebody, but you might cause pain, like death, with your words. So even if you are not really spreading strife among brothers, if your words spread the strife among the brothers, it is something that God hates. Let me conclude the message. So until now, I've talked about the things that the Lord God hates, especially 6 to 7 things, with the Proverbs chapter 6, verse 16 to 19. There are many evil things that God hates, but these 6 and 7 things that God hates the most, because they are the most important and they are the things that we have to cast away as soon as possible. We can also check ourselves as to whether we belong in these categories. What God hates, we have to hate too. On the contrary, conversely, if God likes something, we have to love it, we have to make it ours. That's what the senior pastor has been doing. He was healed of all the diseases that nobody could cure, no medicine could cure. And he was healed by God. So he loved God so much, and he never thought living by the word of God was hard. He believed it was a blessing, and he voluntarily and joyfully obeyed all the words of God. So he wouldn't accept any form of evil, and he overcame even the flesh of fleshly thoughts. He never took them lightly. So he tried to cultivate holiness, and not just that, but he kept on acting in goodness and truth, and he was recognized by God as a beloved one of God. So that's how he opened Manmin Church, and that's why the power of God was manifested right from the beginning of the church. So those who came to receive his prayer, they were healed, they received the answers to their prayers, and they received glory to God. And this ministry has been going on until now, and the power of God has been getting bigger and bigger. This is because God loves and guarantees our shepherd. So we have to love God first too and keep all his commandments. Then God will show that he loves us, show the evidence that he loves us. Our souls will prosper, everything will go well with us, and we'll be healthy. And in case of pastors and leaders, we'll receive the power of God and do the things that man cannot do and give glory to God. So how
happy and joyful these things are. So let us long for these things. And we shouldn't try to find out, oh, what is going on? What is going on? Oh, I want to know what is going on. You shouldn't be busy with this kind of thought, but you should be busy with realizing yourself and casting away your evil. God is letting us see through ourselves as it is, as we are. So let us quickly cast away sins and evil that God hates, receive all the great blessings of God that He has prepared for us. Let us pray together thinking about the message.
Hallelujah! Almighty Father God of love, please lay your hands on all brothers and sisters receiving this prayer here in attendance. Lay your hands on all the members of the branch churches and local centuries, and all the GCN TV viewers, and those who are watching via satellites, cables, and internet all over the world. Plant faith in their hearts and drive out their negative thoughts and doubts. Let all the trials and afflictions leave them. By the fire of the Holy Spirit, from head to toe, scorch their sick and affected parts, including all cells, tissues, and nerves, all internal organs and intestines. Let the light of creation come upon them. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, all diseases, germs and viruses, and infirmities go away. Let the light shine on them. Scorch their incurable and long-term diseases by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Burn all kinds of endemic and contagious diseases like malaria. All epidemic diseases such as colds and fever go away from them. Protect them, Father, from any kind of germs and viruses and bacteria. Heal them of all kinds of cancers, stomach cancer, lung cancer, liver cancer, breast cancer, womb cancer, intestinal cancer, and all other diseases like AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, high blood pressure, low blood pressure, heart disease, lung disease, diabetes, women's disease, thyroid diseases, and all inflammations. Let them be made whole from the polio, stroke, arthritis, herniated discs, and many others. Let all kinds of pains disappear from them, like back pain, headache, and neuralgia. Set them free from epilepsy, autism, depression, neurosis, and all other mental diseases. Loosen them from all kinds of paralysis, and let them get up, walk, and jump. Let them regain good eyesight and restore good hearing. Let the blind open their eyes. Let the deaf come to hear, and let the mute begin to speak. Heal accidents after effects. Restore their ruptured and broken bones. Restore them from burns and let the heat and burning sensation go away from them. Father, let there be no scars left. Be cleansed from all kinds of drug addictions and poisoning. Father, regenerate dead nerves, tissues, and cells and bring the dead back to life. Bless them to conceive a baby. Father, please give them blessing to conceive a baby. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, the ruler of the air, the evil forces and their servants, go away from them. Go away, evil spirits, unclean spirits, deceiving spirits, spirits of falsehood, separating spirits and all forces of darkness. Loosen all bonds of wickedness and darkness and go away from them. Let the light shine on them. Father God, give them strength to cry out in prayer, and empower them with the power to cast off sins and become sanctified. Let them be in good health as their soul becomes prosperous, and let their family be evangelized. Protect them from all kinds of accidents and disasters, and bless them to lead a successful and prosperous life in everything. Please protect your children, their homes and business, and their work with the fiery hedge of the Holy Spirit, with heavenly hosts and angels, and with your blazing eyes. Give students wisdom and understanding, and fill their hearts with more passion and desire for study. Keep their hearts and minds from worldly things, and plant into their hearts more fervent love for God. Bless your children, and let them give glory to you in everything they do, whether they eat or drink or whatever they may do. Let them confess and testify to the living God I have met and experienced God and received His answers and blessings. Father God, thank you. Let all glory be to you alone. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.